This is chapter 24 in our continuing series of podcasts and YouTube videos, slideshows. Chapter 24, the race riots in 1919 and the institutionalization of racism. The Commission for Racial Equality, quote, and they may no longer exist, the Commission, but nonetheless. If racist consequences accrue to institutional laws, customs, or practices, that institution is racist. Whether or not the individuals maintaining those practices have racial intentions. Now, when I was a student studying social sciences in Sheffield Polytechnic in 1985, I reviewed a book for Critical Social Policy, a journal. The book was called White Man's Country, Racism in British Politics by Robert Miles and Annie Fazaklia. Central to the book was the argument that the actions of politicians, trade unions, etc. in the 1962 to 1971 period effectively institutionalized racism in British politics and the state. I agreed then. I thought they were right, but I don't agree now. And as Nelson Mandela says, there's nothing like returning to a place that remains unchanged to find the ways in which you yourself have altered. Miles and Fazaklia and many others argued that the three conditions being met meant that racism was institutionalized in politics. Those three conditions they set out were in effect, number one, there was at the time an overwhelming political and common sense consensus that race and immigration was a major issue for political policy. All the parties in that period of 62-71 were saying that. Two, the debate had shifted beyond immigration control. Although still accepting immigration control was the solution, it had shifted to stopping the influx of families to come and live with immigrants. And three, there was a significant shift towards the repatriation of immigrants, those who weren't us, one might argue. So the politicians wanted immigrants out. The people wanted them out and even agreed they should be sent home. This was, of course, followed by legislation to make it possible. The Trade Unions Congress response to the 1971 Immigration Bill summed up their abandonments of black workers. Many aspects of the government policy had not been made plain, and the General Council decided that a simple condemnation would not deal with the complex issues involved. The TUC, Trade Union Congress, which meant they did nothing. They didn't challenge, they considered and continued to debate while the legislation went through. This is my opinion, and it is only my opinion. It's not a position adopted by our funders, Heritage Lottery, or by HDA, who are the organisation that I'm a member of. But in my opinion, the only significant difference between 1919 and 1971 seems to be the public nature of Westminster's politicians. They said things privately then. Privately meaning in letters, text, etc. In June 1919, the Assistant Chief Constable of Liverpool wrote to the Home Secretary as follows. If there is any power to intern them, that is black people, either on board ships or one of the military camps, and what steps would he suggest in removing the black population, some 2,000 to 3,000 by compulsory repatriation or otherwise? The Lord Mayor wrote in support, if the government could repatriate these black men without delay. Now the response from the Home Secretary of the time, Edward Short, KC, sums up the feelings of the government. And I choose not to use the, in quotes, N-word. Edward Short was not so sensitive. Thank you for your letter about the Liverpool N. I must say I am pleased by the subtlety of it. Having worked with these men in the army and having then demobilized them in this unfortunate country, the military authorities plead no jurisdiction. However, My immediate object in writing this is to say that we hear from the Chief Constable of Liverpool that General Edwards has agreed to take these blacks into a camp if the War Office will give him the necessary authority, for which he has telegraphed. Would you kindly see that he has a telegram tonight giving him authority? That was from Edward Short to his relevant civil servant. Across the cities where the race riots occurred, local politicians demanded repatriation. So did the police. The unions took no action to help black people who were being attacked or black workers. Perfectly summed up by Manny Shimwell, trade union leader then, but later a significant Labour politician in Glasgow. He contributed to the race riots there by speaking at a meeting blaming foreign workers for taking white men's jobs. Now, I was brought up in the East End of London, and that's quite disturbing. Emmanuel Shinwell, Baron Shinwell, as he was to become, known formerly as Manny, was a British Labour politician. He was born in the East End of London to a large family of Jewish immigrants, and he moved to Glasgow when he was about 11. During the war, the alien workers, including those from Empire, had to have identity cards in the form of seamen's tickets. They were then required to show after the war that they were British citizens, even though there was no real way of showing this. Poverty was then used as a way to deport them. They were refused the right to work on ships by agreement between the government and the ship owners, private agreement, and then when they couldn't manage or sustain themselves in money or food, bylaws and another law was introduced to actually say if you were in poverty and could not sustain yourself, the decent thing was to send you home. So they created the circumstance to force them to leave. The problem, however, was their families. This generation in Wales and across the UK were married to white women who could not be deported, and nor could the children, and the men would not leave them. Racism was institutionalised in 1919, in my opinion. The press blamed black people for unemployment and constantly used interracial relationships as a justification for white people's anger. The notion of black and white people in a sexual relationship continually appears. The government used them as a reason for the inadequacies of the system after the war. No homes, no jobs, etc. And the trade union used black people as a target to deflect anger away from their unwillingness to confront government about not enough jobs, not enough homes, and very poor treatment of the soldiers returning from war. All of this was done under a justification that the public were angry. And therefore the smokescreen that was to be used over and over in the decades to follow and was to be a platform for politicians to use during electoral speeches became part of the political culture. So the way that the 1919 race riots was dealt with by government, the trade unions and the media provided a blueprint for generations to follow. The events of 1971 were actually a response to the Windrush generation, which of course includes Uganda and Asia, not merely Asian people, I should say, not merely Caribbean. In a way, that is the problem. So much of history about black and minority people has been written about the post-1950 generation of arrivals and the experience of those in Wales, Liverpool, etc., who were third generation by then, is a forgotten history. In every sense, Wales, like Liverpool, has a different history. And that history is the invisible one that needs telling more than ever. Our road to citizenship is a lesson to be learnt from, not to be ignored. Even David Lloyd George has said, the world is becoming like a lunatic asylum run by lunatics. So my argument is that racism wasn't institutionalised by the state, etc. in 1971 because an immigration law was introduced. My argument is the conditions by which racism and state institutionalized racism became an acceptable part of the culture of this country, this nation, were established in 1919, immediately after World War I. And those conditions were about scapegoating the outsider. The problem is, and Wales is the perfect example of this, those people are not outsiders anymore. And they weren't in 1919. And by the start of the Second World War, and racism was beyond the control of the government. So rather than try and deal with it and rectify it, they accepted it as part of the culture that said people were unhappy in society because of black people being in the country. So the 1919 race riots in themselves happened and were over relatively quickly in Wales and the UK. But the state of mind that was to follow, particularly in England, still continues. Thank you.